Yeah, they never did that before. They should have.
Okay, calling to order the regular session of the Civil Service Commission on Monday, July 23rd at 5:30 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Small Conference Room located at 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Call to the public. There is none. Do a roll call. Ken Budge, absent, excused. Joni Giacomino. Kenneth Wallace. Present. Nancy Jacobson.
Here.
Daniel Duchon, staff liaison, present. Gabe Lindstrom, council liaison, absent. The following items will be considered.
Who is the council liaison?
Gabe Lindstrom.
Oh, okay.
The following items will be considered, discussed, and or decided upon at this meeting. We'll start with the call to the public. There was none, but as a public meeting, when we meet in the other rooms, there will always be a sign-up sheet for a call to the public, which will be first. Introductions. I guess we can, we'll start first. I'm the personnel director with the City of Bisbee. Personnel or HR, so I handle per the charter of the administration of the personnel system. So hiring, retention,
onboarding. Yeah, what's your background?
Well, long story short, I grew up in Detroit and I actually joined the Border Patrol, and that brought me down here. I was at Naco Station for 5 years. I did 1 year in Tucson, the headquarters, doing fleet maintenance. I got out in 2012 and went back to school. Did an MPA at the U of A in Tucson, the concentration in local government. I went up to Navajo County and started working as an analyst for Navajo County and Sholo. Mm-hmm. There I did the budget and HR analysis, so employee investigations, recruitment, retention, classifications, and all the budget analysis. I was there about 2 years, and my last 6 months I was interim directing the Public Health Services District, which is about 40 employees and a $5 million budget, so about half the size of Bisbee. My fiance's here in Sierra Vista, so we were in long distance, and I started looking for work down here, and that's when I found this position. Since then, I've also completed the Certified Public Manager course through ASU, and just recently the Certified Professional in HR through the Society for Human Resources.
Yeah.
And that brings us to here, and I've been here 10 months, I think.
Welcome.
Thank you. Ken?
Well, I've had sort of a, well, I was compensation manager for state government in North Carolina. I was compensation manager for the city of Charlotte for many years. My certified compensation professional actually wrote several books for what used to be ACA, World at Work, you know, and was also had an SPHR as well. So, I have a vintage hand-built bicycle shop. A lot of my career was, all of my holidays basically and vacations were spent working events all over the world as an International Cycling Union commissaire. And I was secretary of the National Governing Body for Bike Racing. And on the board of the Professional Racing Organization, and and I still have an HR consulting business. I generally do some work, most commonly with the county.
Okay.
Yeah, I put in a broadbanding plan in Charlotte that was real successful, and so when I was here, we worked on it, and they've been working on that as well. So,
great. I'd love to tap into that expertise. We've got some compensation and policy things to work on as well.
Yeah, it requires, and Ed is very open to taking the bull by the horns and granting managers the authority to manage as opposed to lots of rules. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, the compensation stuff. I put it in Charlotte, and a guy from the Wharton School, probably the top comp professional in the country, he found out what I was doing, so he he and I did a lot of consulting with D.C. and Philly and Austin and a number of cities around the country. So, yeah.
Wow. Very impressive. I'm Nancy Jacobson. I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania between Harrisburg and State College, Newport, Pennsylvania. Lots of factory jobs there. I got tired of that. I joined the Army. I spent 6 years in the Army, became a sergeant. I was in the military police corps, and then I eventually went into investigations. After investigations, I went to, I got married, had my daughter, and my husband was still in the military. He stayed in for 20 years, so we moved every 3 years. I worked with the comptroller with Unisys Corporation in Heidelberg, Germany. After he finally settled down, we lived in Huachuca City for a while, and I worked as the court clerk at the Huachuca City Hall. Then we moved to Bisbee, and meanwhile I had taken a job as a home care attendant. Then the company was bought and sold about 4 different times, where I became the director of the company. I had approximately 125 women that worked under me doing in-home care. Then after that, I went to real estate school. I worked at the museum part-time. And eventually I worked at the Chamber of Commerce, where I did 5 years. And finally, I worked at the Visitor Center and also at the Queen Mine Tour. And then I decided to take a break and not work anywhere but just volunteer. Great. That's it in a nutshell.
I thought I'd maybe seen your name around
paperwork.
HR papers.
Yeah, I wasn't very good at the retirement stuff.
Well, I keep busy, though. I have so many projects.
I'll be 71 in about 10 days. But
Almost happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, but
I like
having stuff to do. I'm not good at sitting around the house watching House Hunters International.
I'm Joni Giacomino. I'm a generational. I'm third generation Bisbee. My daughter's fourth. I used to work for the city of Bisbee. I used to run the swimming pool for 14 years. And then the nonprofit that I started ran it for another 3 years, LEAP. I currently work in Douglas at 2 jobs. I work for the city of Douglas at their aquatic center, training their lifeguards, certifying lifeguards and certifying WSIs, which I need to talk to you about later when we leave. And I also work for the school district. I retired from Bisbee Unified School District, and then my friend called and they needed science teachers, so I currently teach chemistry in Douglas at Douglas High School. I have a master's in education, secondary education. I have a master's in recreation, sports, and tourism with an emphasis in sports management, and I kind of sort of have a master's in administration. I have my principal certificate, and I also am working on my third and a half master's in biology right now. I'm almost finished with that. I do youth tours. I take the kids of this podunk little town and show them that there's a world. Took 10 teenagers 2 years ago to Costa Rica. We just got back from Australia. We're going to the Galapagos in March. So I try to expose the kids so there's more than just this place. I was one of those kids once that had a very narrow search, but I had a goal to get out, so I'm trying to encourage that for kids. And I guess that's it.
Are you running for council?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, it's like I'm a little loaded here. I'm running for city council also. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So otherwise, yeah. So.
Great. I think we've got a lot of experience here. I'm happy to get this commission going. Next, I'll do a presentation on the duties and responsibilities. Every time the commission kind of gets back together, I like to go over the founding documents, why we're here, what we can and can't do, that type of thing. So I got a quick presentation. I know it's a PowerPoint, but we'll get started with the city charter.
It's just hot.
It's
kind of humid. It's almost humid.
So the Civil Service Commission is spelled out in the city charter. So we have the charter, the bylaws, and our personnel rules and regulations. Starting with the charter in Section 4, Personnel Policy and Procedure. First, you know, the charter says we'll have a civil service and merit system. There'll be a personnel director, and we'll have a civil service commission. The mayor, with approval of the council, shall create a civil service commission consisting of 5 qualified electors of the city, which shall have the following powers and duties. So going over why we're here. 1, to formulate recommendations regarding the city's personnel policy for presentation to the council after review by the manager, personnel director, and the department heads of the city. 2, to investigate and report significant violations of sound personnel administration to the manager and council. 3, to hear and mediate grievances and charges of discrimination against the city submitted to it by employees and officers of the city. So those are our founding responsibilities per the charter. To go on, and in section F, the Civil Service Commission grievance procedure. So upon recommendation of the Civil Service Commission, the council shall formulate specific procedures for presentation to the commission of an employee grievance. And the council has done that through an ordinance, and it is in our personnel manual. So one of the responsibilities is to hear and mediate grievances, and that is written into the manual, which we'll get into. And regarding the personnel rules and regulations, so the manager, personnel director, and civil service commission shall formulate and propose formal personnel rules to the council for its consideration. And that's been ongoing since when the committee has been present. If you look at the current rules and regulations, they have many updates, so that's what's been happening. Next, you guys, these are old, albeit from 1997, but these are the last copies of the Civil Service Commission bylaws that I've been able to locate. So the bylaws is how this commission operates. So the bylaws reiterate that you're here to formulate policy recommendations, investigate and report significant violations of sound personnel administration to the council or manager, and hear and mediate grievances and charges of discrimination. Officers. Just to breeze through this. So you'll have a chairperson, a vice chairperson who will be elected, which hopefully we can do tonight. They'll serve for 2 years. And the personnel director shall keep a recording of all the proceedings, which I do, so I'll take minutes and the recordings, and I will post the minutes online within and the recording within a couple days. So we're subject to open meeting laws, and there is a training on this I sent out. I believe it's this Wednesday. I'll have to check my schedule, but the county attorney's holding that, and they scheduled it, and they've welcomed us to it. So I sent that out to all the committee members of all our committees, and I think I will be able to get a recording of that, and I'll link out to you guys. Okay. The prior schedule previously, the commission met, I believe, monthly. It said something about every Tuesday or something like that. But the council, when they adopted the schedule that I handed out earlier, they adopted it quarterly.
Yeah,
so that can be changed.
For a long time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at some point it went from monthly to quarterly, but it's up to you guys and the clerk for scheduling. Agenda minutes, I'll be taking those. Quorums and votes. There's 5 people on the commission. Right now we do have 1 vacancy, so if you know anybody, spread the word. We only have 4, and then we need 3 to conduct business. And a vote would be an affirmative vote of the majority of the members present. So any votes, such as now, 2 votes would be an affirmative. It's not of the total. An executive session, the commission may hold executive session.
If a quorum isn't present, you're supposed to adjourn the meeting with no business.
Correct. If there was less than 3 people showed up,
right,
we would not have a meeting because there would be no quorum.
Okay.
Sorry, if I'm going too fast or you have any questions, please ask. And the executive or the Civil Service Commission may also hold executive sessions in accordance with Arizona Vice Statute. It does have the outlines for the agendas called the public, old business, new business, for the good order, member comments, staff report, agenda. And if you want anything on the agenda, you can email the chair or you could email myself as well. We'll add it to the agenda. And lastly, we can make amendments to these bylaws. For example, if you do want to go back to monthly meetings, or you want to change the agenda, or any other change to the bylaws.
Isn't it quarterly, unless something comes up, and then you can schedule?
Yes, you can have special sessions.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can have special sessions anytime you determine there is an issue, or if there's a grievance and it goes to the Civil Service Commission, that will most likely be a special session. And that would just be coordinated through myself, and I'll get with the city clerk and see when we can get a room.
It has to be at least 24 hours so it can be posted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's specific requirements about posting the notice and then the agenda. And usually I just let the clerk tell me when things need to be posted.
Okay.
And we can amend these. These are your bylaws for how you do business. So if you want to make an amendment, you would put it on the agenda, and it would be presented. And then at the next meeting, it would be voted upon. Personnel rules and regulations. So the personnel rules and regulations assist our employee manual. I don't have the whole thing. I emailed everybody electronic copies. I just have printouts of where the Civil Service Commission has mentioned, to save some paper here. Equal opportunity. In the beginning, we have a statement on equal opportunity about discrimination, and one of the Civil Service Commission's duty is to investigate allegations of discrimination. So if you look down at letter D, any employer candidate for employment with the city who believes that he or she has been improperly discriminated against, yada, yada, and then they may report that to the city manager. And if the employer candidate is not satisfied with the response of the city manager, may submit a written request for further review by the Civil Service Commission. Any such complaint will be addressed by the commission in the manner provided for in the review of grievances. So we'll go over the grievance procedure, but if someone believes they're discriminated against in hiring, promotions, they could report that to the city manager. He would conduct an investigation. And then if that person is not satisfied with the city manager's investigation, the Civil Service Commission could then conduct an investigation. And it is important to note that you guys, I have to jokingly tell the Police and Fire Advisory Committee, you're not an investigative body. But you guys do have the charter responsibility to investigate and report, and also to hear and mediate. So if something does ever happen, you would be able to investigate certain things the city did in regard to that significant violations of sound personal administration. There's a page on definitions you guys are mentioned in the personnel manual. I'll check that out as well. This provides for a reiteration of what the charter says. Appointed by the mayor and council pursuant to the city charter and consists of 5 qualified electors of the city. Civil Service Commission has the authority to formulate recommendations regarding personnel policy, investigate and report significant violations of sound personnel administration, and hear and mediate grievances and charges of discrimination submitted by employees and officers of the city. So that founding language is also in the personnel rules and regulations. And stop me anytime if there's questions. Grievances. So this was, the charter stated that we needed to, that the council needed to adopt policies on how to deal with grievances. And by an ordinance, they've done that, and those have been placed into our personnel rules and regulations. So I'm not going to read this word by word for you guys, but I will go over the basics. So we'll start with what is grievable and what isn't. So an employee may grieve certain things. An employee may grieve an involuntary termination, a disciplinary action that includes a suspension without pay, and a disciplinary action that includes demotion or a reduction in pay. And it's important to note, not all employees have access to the grievance process. We split our employees into classified and unclassified. All employees are classified except for the department directors and city managers, and the city manager. So those 5 or 6 employees at the department head level are unclassified and do not have access to this process. But all other employees do. A formal grievance may not be filed with regard to any of the following: a verbal or written reprimand, a dispute about the determination of a fundamental governmental policy such as the rate of pay for a particular job classification, the equipment or resources to be provided for the performance of that job, or the structure, staffing, and organization of a particular department, a dismissal from employment or a reassignment to a previously held position for the failure to complete a probationary period in a satisfactory manner. So it's another note, all employees are subject to 6 months probation, and they, during that time, do not have access to the grievance process. An employee performance evaluation, and any other dispute for which such review is not specifically authorized. So there's very specific items that can go through the grievance process and that cannot. Usually it's only for suspensions, demotions that affect pay or termination. So we have a four-stage, 11-step process. If you go over to page, it's 7-3, there's a little flow chart, and that kind of sums it all up. So it would start with a written notice of grievance to department head within 5 working days of action. So the date of action would be, for example, the date you were terminated. Department head to meet with the employee within 5 working days. Department head shall provide written decision within 5 working days. Written request for review of grievance to city manager within 5 working days of department head decision. City manager to meet with employee within 10 working days for a request of review. City manager shall provide written decision within 10 working days. Written request for review of grievance by civil service commission within 10 working days of city manager's decision. City manager arranges meeting with Civil Service Commission within 15 working days of request of review. Civil Service Commission determines recommendation at meeting. Final written decision issued by the city manager with findings and conclusions within 10 working days of Civil Service Commission, and the city manager's decision may be appealed to the Superior Court within 30 calendar days. So it's a lot of steps, but to simplify it, if an action is taken and an employee wants to file a grievance, they have a certain time frame to take it back to the department head. The department head would review it, respond. If they still don't like it, then they would go to the city manager. The city manager would review and respond. If they still don't like it, then they could go to the Civil Service Commission. And this is part of your due process and employment rights here. So I'm going to go through this. There's a couple sections I just want to go on.
I'm going to pause then. So the Civil Service Commission then reports back to the city manager after we make our decision.
So
is that correct?
Yes. So
and then the city manager, and if they don't like what he says, then it goes to Superior Court.
So the Civil Service Commission
can go to Superior
Court. Right.
That's a civil option any employee has at any time.
Okay, so we're just making suggestions then for the city manager.
Yes, so you will make a recommendation.
Recommendation, okay.
And you will review all the facts, and it's part of the due process. I'm going to review this one paragraph here.
Okay.
So the Civil Service Commission is it's the public hearing for all employees' due process rights to employment. And that's at its meeting for this review, the Civil Service Commission shall consider the available record from the prior proceedings, all information, evidence, and statements that have been previously provided by the employee and the city manager, and the arguments or explanation presented by the employee, the city manager, or their representatives. So this is almost your quasi-judicial meeting. Civil Service Commission shall not consider additional information, evidence, or issues that were not previously presented in the prior proceedings. Based upon the record and information that is before it, the Commission shall offer its opinion as whether the subject decision was arbitrary, capricious, an abuse of discretion, or in violation of applicable law. The Commission shall also make a recommendation that the subject decision be affirmed or reversed in whole or part or modified. So I'm working with our city attorney, who's also the county attorney, we share them, on establishing rules, so hopefully I can make recommendations to you guys to adopt in your bylaws and how you handle that, because it's very vague in here how that happens, but you can tell each side where the representative presents the evidence and discusses, and then you as a panel make a recommendation to the city manager regarding that issue.
So if the city employee went to the city manager and he didn't like his decision, and then they came to us. Now we don't know what the city manager basically has done with this employee prior to it coming to us, right?
Well, you will receive all the records.
Oh, we
so
do.
So if the employee
okay.
was terminated,
okay.
you would receive that the entire record of termination
Perfect.
Investigation,
okay.
and then each step of the
of what's been
grievance
done.
Process. So you would receive the initial reasons for termination. Then you would receive the review with the department head,
okay.
the review with the city manager, and you'd receive that entire package of all the facts.
I see.
And our recommendation is public?
Yeah, it's a public
meeting. Yeah, okay, so it's okay. Just want to make sure.
So this is a public okay. public meeting or public hearing that would never be conducted in this room.
Okay.
Obviously being the big one.
So after the city employee states what his problem is, does the city manager get a chance to come and he speak also, or does the employee is all
Yes. Here? So it's a public hearing where each side, I don't want to say side,
yeah,
but,
sorry to but, say
each, or what's the word here?
Both sides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the arguments and explanations presented by the employee and the city manager or the representatives.
Okay.
So at this point,
he could have a lawyer also.
Both parties could have an attorney.
Okay.
And I mean, I'll tell you, right, if any Civil Service Commission grievance hearings like this, it would be the city attorney handling it for the city.
I see.
And we still need bylaws as far as do you call witnesses, who goes first, that type of thing. That's the one thing this commission is lacking. So, for example, if right now you had a grievance, you'd be obligated to hold this Civil Service Commission review, but you don't really have the rules for that. You would have to craft a very tight agenda and exercise due diligence. So hopefully we can get some bylaws regarding that as well.
So do they generally, do most bylaws generally follow the same format, like for each town? Is it like a generic bylaw for a Civil Service Commission?
I don't know that. I know every town and city has this due process
right.
mechanism. Where I used to work, it was called the Defense or the Disciplinary Action Review Board. Here it's called something different. So everybody has this mechanism to for your employment rights, but I don't know. I've reached out to the city attorney, so hopefully we can see what the county's doing and maybe steal some policy from them. But
we can look at Sierra Vista and Douglas and
yeah.
even cities our size.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could do comparative.
Say rewrite.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the Civil Service Commission hearing. Lastly, it does go back to, that recommendation goes back to the city manager, and he has the final decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for example, if you don't agree with his decision, you could still make a recommendation to the council under one of the other clauses in the charter, which was sound personnel judgment.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you expect the city manager will be attending these?
Yeah, absolutely. Or these meetings, or
yes,
if there's a grievance?
These meetings.
Normally, these meetings, no, I'll probably be the only member of the staff.
Okay, because in the past, they did.
Okay. But an actual grievance hearing?
No.
Yeah.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was the standard. But that the attorney,
Interesting.
City manager...
In the regular,
yep.
just a normal
yep.
commission. Wow.
Yep.
Well, if you haven't.
I mean, if there was anything of import, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, sometimes there's nothing to hear, and they probably would just be canceled.
And of course, you're welcome to request, you know, a presentation or update from a department head or city manager or city attorney on this or that.
Yeah.
So you're welcome to request anybody be present to mm-hmm. present.
It was interesting because we did have well, I remember one where there was basically the city attorney had to tell the city manager, you know, don't go there.
Tricky business.
Yeah.
So if there is no agenda items, would we have a meeting?
I don't know. I've never had nobody. I've never had no agenda items. Always there's always something that.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do we? I mean, we're mainly here for grievances.
And the policy. Which
and the policy, right. But if there's nothing, I mean, if there's nobody, hopefully there's nobody filing grievances.
Well, like I say, I don't think there's been a meeting since 2016. Okay. And even then, they weren't held very often.
Yeah. Okay. From my perspective, the council has given direction for policy changes, and I see things that need to be changed where we have these gaps. So I was under the staff report. I'll get into my plans for you guys if that's okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the grievance process has very specific time frames. So if that does happen, just step by step, we'll go through it and work together and make sure we meet those as far as minimums and maximums. Number four, discussion. I'm sorry. Are there any questions on the presentation? Okay. Number four, discussion and possible election of a chairperson and vice chairperson. So at this point, anybody could nominate themselves or another person, and with a second, you could take a vote on electing a chairperson and vice chairperson.
Would it be appropriate to wait till we actually have a full, at least four? I mean, I would feel more comfortable waiting till
Mr. Budgie's here.
Yeah.
You that's up to you. Per the bylaws,
that's fine.
You may take a vote.
Can we vote for him in absentia?
I don't know.
I can nominate him.
I don't think that'd be fair without asking.
Right.
Doggone. You missed, you made it.
Yeah, you know? Really. Mm-hmm. Is it imperative that we have that right now? I mean, we could do it at the next meeting.
You could, based on... I would prefer that you do have a a chair and vice chair in case I need to get a hold of somebody. Mm. But, I mean, my preference is not... It should not be based on your judgment or based on your actions. So it's completely up to you guys. If someone makes a motion in a second, there's a vote.
When,
if nobody does, we move on.
When will Mr. Budge be in town, do you know?
He's just in Washington for the week. I think his grandson and his son's birthdays were the same week, and that's why he's gone. Ken, you've done this a million years. You know how this runs. This is my first time to ever be here. I will follow your guidance. I think you have a good idea what's expected of us. Would you do it, like, maybe just for 6 months or something? Or
well, my wife and I are talking real seriously about leaving the country.
Are you? Okay. So you would not get committed to anything?
Yeah. In fact, just as I was leaving, she said, I'm ready.
Well, if we have to have somebody, I guess I'll just volunteer.
You do not have to take a vote. I'm just saying, per the bylaws, you are allowed to.
Could we do this? Could we vote a temporary for communicative purposes? I can't even say the word until we have the full.
I don't believe so because the bylaws say the chair and vice chair serve for 2 years.
Oh, okay, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I move that we table it.
that's a big commitment.
Yeah, it is.
I
mean,
yeah.
I need to read more. And
I feel better.
Yeah, if I could speak frankly, I believe there will be grievances within the next month.
That's what I'm scared of.
I believe you are correct.
So it would be more efficient if there was a co-chair.
So you said he's going to be back in a week? Possibly.
We could have a special session.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we do a call it a work session? We do have a school board,
right.
You know, yeah. when something
just
like that comes
specifically
up.
Specifically for elections.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that be the only item on the agenda.
And let me contact him before we set up a date, and I'll find out when, and then I'll let you know, Dan, and after we find out when he's going to be back, you're pretty much open for an hour or 15 minutes for us to elect somebody, right?
Yeah,
and
we
if there's
can make
like,
a short
yeah.
agenda. And,
yeah.
And
if there's
minutes.
A conflict, I can always do. Are we allowed
we
here to do?
Calls?
Okay, like the school board, when I have things, I'm allowed to go remote. Do you guys do? Is that allowed in
yes.
the city? Okay. So if something, because I'm coaching.
With me,
yeah. That's okay. I mean, just yes. as long as I am, but yeah, because.
She can call me and I can put it on
right.
speaker.
This is,
we are at the mercy of the county, so.
Right. Okay.
You know, it could take 2 weeks to get a meeting space. I mean,
oh, okay.
We got stuffed all the way back.
Right. And school's starting, so I mean, that's where it gets to be
yeah.
kind of hinky because I coach now, so. But I don't have a problem if I can do remote. I can
okay.
meet pretty much anytime. I guess that's what it's called. Remote.
Yeah, and
yeah.
people dial in the mayor's
yeah.
at all.
Okay, so special.
All right, so item four, there is no motions, and we will...
Or we move to table it until we can hold a special meeting. Do you want to do that? If it's on our agenda, do we need to table it?
You can either take no...
No action?
Just no action.
Okay.
No motion.
That's perfect.
Member comments, number five, that is just if any of the members have any comments to make.
Have you had anybody submit the first 5 days to the city manager and it's in the period of going into the 10 days yet?
No grievances have been submitted.
Okay.
At this time.
At this time.
Yeah.
But have we mm-hmm. met the 5 day time frame that they have to do it with?
There is...
Is it five days?
Clock running right now.
Okay.
So based on my experience, or based on the events of this week, I believe there will be 2 grievances filed by next Monday.
By next Monday.
You're correct.
So if they miss the 5 day deadline, is that throw them out of the ballgame then?
If they miss that 5 day, then they're no longer entitled to further grievances.
Okay. It's real important on Facebook that we don't say anything about any of anything because I see a lot of that information on Facebook.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are a commission. These are public meetings. It's mm-hmm. subject to open meeting law, and I hope you can attend on Wednesday. If not, I'll get the recording out.
Mm-hmm.
There are things to consider, for example, on Facebook. If all three of you comment
right.
on the same
right.
thing,
right.
that is in violation of open meeting law. If you all say, I'm on the Civil Service Commission, this is my opinion.
Right.
That is not
the, true. This is my opinion is the problem.
Yeah.
It's the same
no
with the school board.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully this week I'll get that video out at
right.
on the presentation.
Just it's just much better and much easier not to. I mean, I have a Facebook page, but I don't ever speak
just
of anything about school
simple.
Board. I mean, I'm a, you know, because I'm on school board, so I just minor obnoxious things and, you know. That type
yeah.
of stuff, family.
And I hate to admit, it's very nuanced. You know,
right.
one comment could be okay, but then if you jump on the same thread,
right.
then all of a sudden...
Right. It's the same with email, though, too. If anybody emails you within our group, never hit reply
or,
all.
Yeah.
Because then that violates that open meeting law also. And it's just better not to do any kind of communication
Absolutely.
Other than here. Yeah.
And it's also important to remember that, for instance, there could be something... someone deciding whether to go to civil service, I mean to EEOC before they decide whether to go here, and it's that balancing of the days.
Mm-hmm.
That's another, a whole nother.
Yeah.
Which can actually be, the EEOC can be rather tricky, been there, done that. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Member comments, Nancy?
No, I think I've said everything
okay.
I need to. Thank you.
Joni, Ken?
No.
Okay. Last staff report, I just wanted to give you guys a quick update of what I've been working on that's in your purview as far as the policy. I think the policy manual needs a little brushing up. The council has also given city staff direction to research some things. So policy that we're currently researching, I'll just kind of get into this. Probationary employees, the manual states every employee is a probationary employee, but it doesn't get into the details. For example, transfers, internal promotions, interim positions, that type of thing. And I've noticed it hasn't been applied equally department to department. So it's one of the things I'm trying to do here is make sure that things are applied equally department to department. And you mentioned earlier the county, you know, giving directorial discretion. However, I think we need a little bit more policy because it's bordering on inconsistent.
Yeah.
So.
And what I was talking about really was just strictly in the area of compensation, where they will be given X dollars.
Oh, yeah.
But then within that, we also give them information on market analysis for each of the job classes, where they are currently, all that kind of thing. So it's, you know, you have the authority to make these decisions, but if you screw up, you know, you're subject to EEOC and all of that. So
additionally, we need to work on some policy for the enforcement of hiring contingencies. For example, if you're hired as a police officer and you fail to complete the academy, you're terminated. But there's other contingencies in other departments that haven't been monitored as strictly. Mm-hmm. So we need some policy for that. Internal hires, right now we can't hire internally. Every vacancy must be posted and open to the public.
But there have been a number where there have not been, and I've actually raised that issue.
Maybe, yes, previously it could very well have been.
Well, being honest, just the recent situation with the $100 an hour treatment plan guy.
Oh, yeah, and there are some nuances in the policy manual. That's an emergency hire, so it's a non-regular employee. So as a non-regular employee, he doesn't have access to the grievance process, it can't extend past 6 months, and he doesn't have the probationary period, and he can be terminated at any time. So that's not a regular employee.
Yeah,
and
it's not a regular employee, but it's still, in my mind, should have been advertised, because there were other people offering to do it, and the whole way it was set up.
And additionally, that was a professional services agreement with the council, so the council can enter into contracts with whoever they vote on. So that's, I don't know if that'd be the purview of the personnel rules and regulations.
Yeah. It just was, and I've talked to a lot of people who feel like it was a really bad decision. I know how much those jobs, I mean, what he's being paid at $100 an hour, even for just driving the top of the pay range for the head of water treatment in Phoenix. Pay range goes up to $94,000. Yeah, so. And that kind of stuff just really hurts the city, hurts people's perception.
So that's one policy, the internal hires, which we're not allowed to do right now. Pay adjustments. We really haven't been consistently applying pay adjustments for certification, end of probation, temporary duty pay, and interim pay. So I'd like to establish some policy kind of guiding that. One department could say you get 5, 10, 15%. Another department could say you get 2, 3, or 4. So we need some direction on that. PTO cash out. We see this a lot with the police and fire departments. They're short-staffed, so they're not able to use their PTO. So we have a use-or-lose policy, so they're losing a lot of it. And the council has given direction to staff to research this policy and see how much it would cost for some type of PTO cash-out.
And how much would it cost under public safety retirement system and increased?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure if those types of cash-outs are subject to the retirement.
If you're, I think they are, because
they are.
Any kind of extra thing as a teacher before I retired counted towards my retirement.
PSPRS has very specific rules.
All the stone guard stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, they have specific rules, and again, it's nuances. For example, bonuses aren't viewed as PS contributions.
Except the bonuses given to members of the board of the public safety retirement system, which the governor told them they could not do, and the guy went ahead and gave them to their funds managers and then quit, and they didn't pull them back. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Next, we have holiday and PTO cash-out policy. Right now, there's a policy in place where every holiday you can also take PTO, so you can get double time when you're actually off. So I think we need to reevaluate that because
Absolutely.
The people working get double time for working.
Yeah.
So there's been some gripes about that. Next, whistleblower policy. We really have no policy on how to handle these situations, so we should have that as well, where it could be reported.
Isn't there one, a federal, that
yes.
Would supersede anything? So shouldn't it be whatever whistleblower you decide to choose, shouldn't it pretty much parallel federal?
Yeah, and you'll see the same thing in the manual with our EEO and sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. You know, there's federal and state laws that right. dictate that, and ours just reaffirm that. And usually we also include, you know, workplace postings to say where you can report these things. Mm-hmm. So it's more comprehensive if we have the policy as well. Mm-hmm. Immunization policy. Right now we have no policy or list about what immunizations you should have based on your job. For example, if you know you're a sanitation driver or wastewater or police, there's really no guidance on what shots you need. So we need to... I worked with somebody who retired from the health department. She kind of gave me a list of what's recommended. So hopefully we can take that, brush it up, and establish some type of policy or SOP that says, okay, you're a firefighter. You should get this, this, and this. And if there's a policy, maybe we're going to, you want to waive this for whatever reason or because of age or you got a baby. Okay.
Yeah, we are given that. But if we waive and we have an outbreak at school, we go home with no sick leave. We're leave without pay.
Yeah.
So that's how it's written into ours. So
right now we don't even have that.
Well.
Lastly, I'd like to get some light duty or return to work policy. We don't have a policy if somebody's on light duty. They'll usually just tell us if they're coming in or not. And we don't have a policy that says, no, we have, you know, if you roll your ankle, you have to go, you come to finance and you file papers, that type of thing. Where we do have work you could do, or you could be answering, or in the police station you could be working dispatch if you, you know, hurt your knee, that type of thing. Right now it's by situation.
Does the City of Bisbee have any kind of education incentive? For instance, I'm a secretary and I want to further myself, so I take a class, and if I score a B or better in my class, the city covers my tuition. Do you guys do anything like that?
No, we do have a program for certifications.
Okay.
So if you obtain a professional certification like...
Wastewater level 3.
Wastewater level 2 or 3 or 4, or mm-hmm. building inspector for residential, commercial, plumbing, electrical, mm-hmm. or certified municipal clerk. I recently had the certified HR. Mm-hmm. That type of thing, you can get up to a 5% pay increase.
Okay.
If you obtain that certification. But there's specific rules for it. It can't be something that's required for the job. So
okay.
you can't, for example, your police officer certification, that's required for the job, so the pay reflects that. You can't go, I finished the academy, give me 5%.
Okay.
And it also can't be, again, there's no policy, but there's some common sense. You can't go do an 8-hour confined space course with OSHA and go, look, you know, this is worth 5%.
Well, right.
Not really. I did 1 hour online. So I'm working on some policy to make sure, based on the value it brings the city and
right.
You know, the difficulty to obtain as well, because some certifications were 2%, 3 or 4. And again, when you apply that citywide, it's not equal.
Right.
And that's what I've been noticing a lot in driving my desire to get new policy or direction. There's just a lot of policy gaps, and every department's kind of been on their own because there really hasn't been a full-time HR director in quite some time to actually do this.
Is there any kind of pre-authorization? Like, I guess that's not the word I'm looking for. For instance, if this person wants to take this test, do they have to get authorized before they can take it to get that 5%? Or do they just randomly say, oh, I just took my, you know.
So no, there is no pre-authorization, but there should be.
Right.
I obtained the HR certificate, and I asked.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid for the test, and when I passed it, I was reimbursed. Yeah, we need to do that because
right.
A lot of people are saying, oh, I have this, and I go, well, that's, you know, a 2-hour online course. And
right.
And then at the same time, I don't want somebody to pursue, you know, a certificate that's inapplicable, and they waste their time and money and say, well, this has nothing to do with your job. So we do need some, we do need a pre-authorization, and that's why I'm pushing for this as well. So that is just some ideas I've been working on, we're doing research on, and a couple of those are from council as well. So I'd like to work with you guys and come up with some policy recommendations. I've got stacks of ideas, and I'll bring them to you, and you can read them or you know, adjust and make recommendations, and you can make a recommendation to council. I could.
I have a question, and this may sound really stupid, but it's always amazed me. It has always kind of fascinated me how you guys know when people are at work. Is what is the policy when you guys come to work? I mean, like, at school, when I teach, I'm a school teacher.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm there because I have children in my classroom, but we have what are called classified. They're non-certified teachers. They clock in. They have their, and they have to clock in, and they have to clock out at lunch, and they have to clock back in after lunch. So there's a digital trail, you know, where they're out and they use their IDs.
Yeah.
I've never seen that here. I've seen it in other cities I've worked at.
I don't believe we have any time cards. I don't believe any employees use time cards.
So how do you know if somebody...
I don't.
Okay. Because I've seen... I mean, the reason I ask is because when I've worked in town, I've seen people kind of floating around, and I'm thinking...
Yeah. Well, yeah. We break employees into
two... At Queen Montour, we signed a form all the time when we were there.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, we break employees into categories, exempt and non-exempt. Mm-hmm. The exempt employees are really only the department heads and managers and their salaried, so they don't get overtime.
Right.
They do timesheets.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, me, for example, I come and go a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would rarely say that I keep regular hours.
Right.
And just like the other departments,
but
I don't know when they come and go.
Right.
The hour employees, they're hourly and they do the timesheets, but they don't have time clocks.
Right.
And it has been brought up that, yeah, we need this.
Yeah.
And I would support that as well. It was part of the package for the HR payroll software that was presented a couple months ago, but with the budget, the council said no. I mean, it was pretty pricey, but they...
Right.
What were you looking at?
Oh, it was... Paycom. I think they do more commercial, but they've gone, they do several cities in Arizona.
Yeah, we did PeopleSoft.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the school district has, but like I said, Bisbee uses one also, but they type in, but our school district, they have cards, we have ID cards because we have to wear ID cards, and they just program into their cards. So it's a swipe card.
I think you know, software-wise, we got a lot of growing up to do. We're way behind the times, and so hopefully we can start implementing more of that. We just started online timekeeping, so our finance system did have a online time sheet module, and they activated that. So now all employees go in and enter their time and submit it, and their supervisor goes in and approves it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that
right.
Second line, but as far as timesheets, there's nothing else. That is all I have for the staff report. Are there any questions for me regarding that? Okay. Then number 7, we can motion to adjourn. Somebody chooses to.
Motion to adjourn.
Do I have to second? I mean, does it need a second?
6:30.
Yes.
Second. Yeah. Sorry.
And then they'll vote on adjournment.
Aye.
Aye.
Did you second it, Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm happy we've got a commission again. Hope you stick around.
Yeah, I was telling them some of the what went on with some of the previous ones.
Did you turn the recorder off?
I did.